You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off. Racing.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill. This time we're looking ahead to the action coming up on Thursday, the 17th of May, second day of the Dante Festival at York, of course. And it's a fantastic day of action live on Racing Radio. You can join the guys in the studio from 1:50 p.m. They'll be taking a look at York, in addition to all the supporting cards, Salisbury and Perth in the afternoon, and Fontwell and Newmarket in the evening as well. There's racing at Clonmel over in Ireland in the evening. On top of that, we're here on the podcast. My name's John Gibby, joined in the studio by Craig Forsyth. Hello, Craig. How are you?
Yeah, very good, thanks, John. Very good. And, three special days in May at York. And, looking forward to previewing the middle of those 3 days. And of course, the feature event of the three, the Dante Stakes, which is due off at 3:30 on Thursday.
Yeah, we'll start off by looking at the 220. By the way, today on the podcast, rather than sort of doing the usual half and half format, we're just going to take a look at the four ITV races that are taking part at York on Thursday, because we've got some competitive handicaps. Of course, we've got the Dante. It's looking like it should be a good day of action, especially towards the front end. So we'll start off with that 220 at York. It's a handicap over 5 furlongs, a 0-105 affair, and 19 runners, 7-1 the field for this one, Craig. Major Jumbo is that 7-1 favourite. El Astronauta, 10-1, also 10-1 for Line of Reason. Poyle Vinny, the same price, 10s. It's also 10-1 up Royal Brave and Sheep's Car Lad. 11-1 then Cooper Knight, and Copper Knight rather, and 12-1 and bigger for the rest. All prices, of course, at time of recording.
Are you going to allow me two picks against the field here, John? Seeing it's 7-1 the field and how competitive it is.
19 runners. I think we can allow you two picks.
That's very kind of you, John. Yeah, I think we'll start not with this one of the two selections, but I think, you know, Major Jumbo, I think would definitely deserve to start with this one, given how well he won at Newmarket last time. You know, broke really well under Nicola Curry. Never looked in any danger at any stage of that race. And quick and clear and impressive style. Clocked a really quick time as well. And he's gone up £6 for that success. The one thing that strikes me about this horse, I think he does need a little bit of cut in the ground to produce his best. He does have a little bit of a knee action in terms of how hard he hits the ground. And, you know, presume it's going to be on the quick side at York. You know, good to form, firm forecast for the first day, and there's no rain on the horizon. So conditions at York are going to place much more of an emphasis on speed than they did at Newmarket for Major Jumbo. So it's 7-1. You know, I think we can start looking elsewhere. Another angle into the opener, John, is the pace angle. You look at the pace map for this race, and Major Jumbo is one of four or five absolute trailblazers in the race. Gracious John, he's boxed in stall 19 alongside Major Jumbo. El Astronaut, we've seen how quick he was from the gates at Chester last week. You know, he went a little bit too hard on that occasion.
Straight over to the rail from a wide draw, wasn't it?
He was indeed. You know, the two horses, including the winner, were slowly away in the Chester race, but he ended up going too hard. Copper Knight, Desert Law. So there's a whole host of really strong front-running sprinters in this comparative handicap. So it could play to look at a horse here that, you know, is likely to race off that pace mid-division and or held up. And there's a couple that I'm interested in here. I think Line of Reason has to be the first port of call for me. A horse that has slipped to a very good mark. Obviously, he's got the class edge in terms of a lot of back class running in these big competitive handicaps in the past. And he hasn't been at his best of late, but he slipped to a very good-looking mark of 92. He ran in the Borderless Scott race at Musselburgh last time, slowly away again, but was, you know, making a little bit of progress in the closing stages. Then this flat-out gallop here over the sprint trip is definitely going to play to Line of Reason's hands. He's going to relish the return to a faster racing surface as well. That's a huge plus for him. And despite, you know, arriving here on the, not in, well, not in the best form, I think he is worth chancing from what is a fallen handicap, Mark. The other one I like is Royal Brave. You know, he's, you know, been progressing at a lower level than this, but I think he certainly deserves his chance in this type of contest. Danny Todd Hope was seen to great effect when squeezing him through a very, very tight gap to win at Musselburgh last time. And he won cosily. That's his racing style. You know, he's never a horse that is going to run away with a race because he needs produced as late as possible. He needs luck in running. He needs the gaps to appear. But when he's got that fast pace to attack, you know, he's seen to good effect finishing off strongly at the business end. He's only gone up another £3. Like I said, he's raised in class. This is going to be his toughest assignment so far, but he's a late maturing type. Of course, the owners, James Edgar and William Donaldson, same colours as well as Borderless Scott, who did so well for them, and the Bastamans. So Royal Brave would be the second pick here, another one that will relish fast ground alongside Line of Reason, who will be the one, hopefully, that will relish coming off what should be a really strong pace.
Royal Brave and Line of Reason are both 10-1 at time of recording for the 220 at York, the opening sprint handicap on the second day of the Dante Festival. So we move now to the 255, and that's the Middleton Stakes. It's a Group 2 for fillies and mares over the extended mile and a quarter. And taking a look at the betting for this one, Craig, we've got a 15-8 favourite for John Gosden and Frankie Dettori. Coronet, Maury is then 11-4. It's 6-1 to about Smart Cool. Chain of Daisies is a 13-2. 15-2 for Turret Rocks. 14-1 bar at time of recording.
Yeah, good race. And of course, we got the front two in the market, John, who clash again after, you know, coming so close together in the Ribblesdale at Ascot last year. On that occasion, of course, that race being over a mile and a half, Coronet just came out on top. She was the, I would say, the stronger stayer of the two after Moray travelled really well into that contest, but was out-battled and outstayed in the closing stages. The two horses went different ways from there. Coronet went on to certainly improve her form. She finished behind Enable on two occasions at the Curragh and at York, and then for me she produced a personal best in defeat in the Ledger, finishing fifth behind Capri before signing off at Ascot in the fillies and mares race over a mile and a half in soft ground. I personally think Coronet might just use this as a prep to Group 1s. You know, I think she's the one horse here that will have maybe her sights set a little bit higher than this as the season develops.
Has she got the pace for a mile and a quarter?
Again, you know, I would say a mile and a half would probably be our optimum. She's got the pace for it, but I think a mile and a half will certainly see her to better effect. And I just think, you know, this may be a race that will bring her on for from a Group 1 later in the season. So this could be a great opportunity for Maury, who returns after having wind surgery. I think 10 furlongs will definitely suit her better than a mile and a half. She's definitely got the speed for it, and she would get my vote here. But it's a real good race. You know, we've got 2 6-year-old Smart Call, who ran third in this corresponding race last year, and she had to carry the Group 1 penalty last year, of course. Obviously, escapes that, having failed to get ahead in front last season. You wouldn't be that quick to rule her out, although looking back at previous winners, particularly the last 10, all fall in the way of 4- and 5-year-olds who are less exposed than Smart Call. Chain of Daisies, another one that kind of fits into that bracket at the age of 6. But, you know, 2 useful performers in their own right, and, you know, gives this race a lot of strength and depth. But for me, Maury just gets the call.
Yeah, Chain of Daisies has some very good form, only 4 runs as a 5-year-old. Beat Ulysses, no less, on her final run out as a 4-year-old back in August of 2016. But Maury the pick for Craig in this 2.55 at York, the Middleton Stakes. It's a Group 2 contest. The 3.30 at York is the big one, not just of the day, but of the whole week. The Dante Stakes is a Group 2. It's over the same trip, the extended mile and a quarter. Roaring Lion heading the betting at time of recording at 9-4, the fifth from the 2,000 guineas, of course. Mildenberger then 4-1, 5-1 for Crossed Baton. Wells Fargo seeking to defend that unbeaten record. It's 13-2. It's 9-1, James Cook for Aidan O'Brien and Ryan Moore. And it's 11-1 and bigger for the rest, Craig.
Yeah, good renewal. Looking forward to this one. And again, we'll start with the market leader, Roaring Lion, a horse who... there was a few bubbles burst, let's say, with his run in the Craven this year. You know, John Gosden didn't hide the fact that he was returning 80% fit for his first start of the season. But even so, he was a shade disappointing, finishing third behind Massar. You know, that didn't alter the plans. They still went back to Newmarket for the Guineas, and he ran a much better race. He finished fifth behind Saxon Warrior. He was slowly away, and, you know, he picked up after being squeezed out at the start. And, you know, it was a personal best, really, finishing fifth. He did get closer to Saxon Warrior, of course, at the back end last year in the Race and Post Trophy at Doncaster. My worry for the horse... John, is a smaller field over this extended mile and a quarter, because he can just be a little bit keen, you know, a little bit fresh, and he can over race. He will need to settle, and for me, I think a mile, you know, a strongly run mile is likely to bring out the best in him, and I would just be worried that he pulls too hard in the early stages of this race and fails to last home trying this trip for the first time. Looking at his pedigree, Kitten's Joy, obviously, you know, is an influence on stamina. He's a sire that has produced some good middle distance times. Obviously, Hawkbill probably being the best of those. But when you look at the dam side of his pedigree, there's not a huge amount of stamina there at all. You know, roughly around the mile range in terms of, you know, sisters and half-brothers. So there's got to be a lot of doubt over the trip for Roaring Lion. So as a result of that, you know, at 9-4, I'd be looking elsewhere. John Gosden, who, you know, has won this race in the past with Wings of Desire. And, of course, he's his star performer that went on to bigger and better things, Golden Horn. So he's got a great record in the race. He's got two runners this year. Cross Baton is the second of the pair this year. He, of course, won the trial at Epsom over a mile and a quarter. On the bare form, he's got a lot to find from that Epsom run. You know, it was a long way behind what some of these other horses that he takes on have achieved already. But looking at him physically, he's probably a better horse than he's been able to show, even though he's won three of his four starts.
Yeah.
But he did get to the front in a slowly run affair, and he dictated the slow pace and then quickened coming down the hill. So, you know, overall, he's got a lot of improving to do if he's to step up, you know, to win a race like the Dante. But, you know, physically, it wouldn't be the biggest surprise if he did improve, John. So that's the two Gosden horses. Last year's winning stable, Mark Johnson, is responsible for Mildenberger, and he will get my vote to record back-to-back victories, the trainer Mark Johnson, in the Dante Stakes. This is a horse that reappeared as a three-year-old in the fielding at Newmarket. You know, he took his form to a new level after producing a good level of form as a juvenile last year. Fortune's Pearl kicked for home some way out on that occasion, and he took a while to wear down Fortune's Pearl, looking like he's very much in need of a step up and trip now. Fast ground, you know, is also going to be the key to the source. You watch the way he moves, he's got a very low, fast action. So he's going to absolutely relish the conditions here, Mildenberger. Stall 9, you know, even despite the smaller field, wouldn't exactly be ideal. But I think he's a big, big player. And what looks at a really good renewal. Obviously, you know, there's horses at bigger prices worthy of mentions as well. Wells Fargo probably wants the ground a little bit softer. You know, he does possess a lot of knee action, but he's very impressive when he beat James Garfield over, you know, a trip that he just got away with. You know, so there's a huge amount of improvement to come from him stepping up and tripping. He's been supplemented for the Derby, of course. Now, Tim Easterby, you know, stumping up, well, obviously the owners, but trained by Tim Easterby, stumping up the money for the Derby could be significant. James Cook, a nice type physically, but carries his head a little bit high for me. The track will suit much better than Epsom, of course, you know, given the size of the horse. Nordic Light is probably one of the horses at the bigger prices that you could give a positive mention to. I thought he won a very competitive novice event at Newmarket last time. He clocked a sensational time. Obviously, the second's gone on to Frank the Form. So at bigger prices, Nordic Lights, I think, can outrun odds of 11-1. But Mildenberger obviously could be the star performer in this year's Dante for me. A really, really good renewal.
Mildenberger for last year's winning connections then for Craig in the 3:38 York the Dante Stakes, the Group 2, the feature race of York's May Festival. The final race we'll be taking a look at the podcast on the podcast today is the 4:05, the Hamilton Handicap, and it's over a mile for horses aged 4 and above. And taking a quick look at the betting for this one, we've got 11 runners, and we've got a 7-2 favourite, Original Choice. Kate Byron is a 9-2, 11-2 for Barrowees. Afak, 8-1, also 8-1 about Isomer. Third Time Lucky, 10-1, and 12-1, and bigger for the rest.
Yeah, as competitive as ever, this race, but you look back at previous winners of this race, John, and over the mile at York in a competitive handicap like this, it definitely pays to race up with the pace. You don't want to be coming from too far back. Of course, Original Choice had to come from off the pace to win at Wetherby last time. He had no choice, being drawn wide in the car park. And when you look at how that race panned out, it was a case of the horses drawn low, going off too hard on the inside. And the first and second, I think, were drawn 15 and 12, that was able to sweep by and pick up the pieces. You know, he's £3 higher. He's turned out quick enough 12 days on, and he's also going to be racing on a much quicker surface. So 7-2, he doesn't make a huge amount of appeal. Cape Byron, Roger Varians, he's a dark one, really, because you go back to September 2017 when he beat Fire Brigade at Ascot. The two were a long way clear of the field on that occasion, and they looked two really smart performers. We've only seen him twice since, at France in a listed race and in a Group 3 in January at Maidan. Didn't show a massive amount in either of those two races. He's another one that's had time off and returning after wind surgery. He's the dark one, and he's probably the hardest horse in this race to get a handle on and what he's likely to be capable of. But one thing we expect and he should do is improve again as a four-year-old. So he's a respected runner, but 9-2 again, short enough. Barrowees, turned out quickly from his success at Chester last week, 6 days on. He ran in this race, John, in 2016, off a mark of 106, was drawn 15 and led at the furlong pole. It was an amazing run. Here he is a couple of years on, racing off a mark of 90 and coming here in good heart as well. But there could be, less exposed types. But again, Barrowees deserves a lot of respect here. But the horse I like, and I have one concern, is the stable form. I think they've had one winner from the last 45 runners, is the Andrew Bolden Yard and Isomai. A horse that finished second, of course, in the Chesham, going back a couple of years, in his two-year-old campaign. Now, since then, he went on to win on his next start, at Salisbury. And since then, he's failed to win. But as a result, he's fallen back down the handicap. I thought there was a lot to like about his performance at Newmarket last time. He had a pipe opener at Kempton when he was beaten at a short price. But he was up with the pace and he did best of the front runners at Newmarket last time. The two horses that beat him, Examiner, came from off the pace down the near side rail, and Red T, who was unlucky to finish second, that went on to win subsequently at Nottingham. So that form looks very strong. It was a quick time. The race is working out well. He's got the ideal running style. From stall one, he's going to be up close to the pace. I think he's on a decent mark. Isomer for me at 8-1 each way will be very, very hard to knock out the frame.
And will that be the nap from York's Racing on Thursday?
I do like a good solid handicap, John, a competitive race. I make it hard for myself this game, harder than it should be.
Yeah.
But yes, I do like his chances on the 8-1 each way. Of the four ITV races, he'd be the best bet for me.
Fantastic. Just want to recap your selections in those four races.
Of course. Going back to the sprint race, we're going for two against the field. Line of Reason for Paul Midgley and Royal Brave for Rebecca Basterman. In the second race on the card on Thursday, we're going for the Sir Michael Stout horse, Murray. In the big one, the Dante Stakes, Mildenberger for last year's winning connections, Mark Johnson. And finally, in the competitive handicap of 4:05, Isomer for Andrew Bolden.
And the Thursday of York Stante meeting is live on Racing Radio Live. Also, the rest of the day's racing from Britain and Ireland. Do join us on Racing Radio from 1:50. And join us tomorrow for another edition of the Daily Racing Podcast. Craig, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, John.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.